WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present The Enemies Within with host Trevor Loudon. Trevor is an author, filmmaker, and public speaker. Trevor was born and raised in New Zealand, but now resides in the United States of America. For more than 30 years, Trevor has researched the radical left, socialism, communism, and Marxism, as well as terrorist movements and organizations. Trevor is the author of several books and the producer of several documentaries. And now, WVW-TV presents Trevor Loudon.
Welcome to Trevor Loudon's Enemies Within. Today, I think I'll talk about my book, White House Reds. Now, the 2020 election was interesting for many reasons, but one that's very underreported is the fact that of January the 1st, 2020, of the 11 candidates still count standing in the Democrat side of the ticket, 10 of them had Marxist backgrounds. So I'd like to go through some of those people to give a bit of an indication. And the point I'm making here is this, that the Marxist movement is a little bit, you know, I'm not being disrespectful here, but it's similar to Christianity in a way, that Christianity has many denominations. You know, obviously you have Methodist, you have Orthodox, you have Episcopalian, etc. And they all have different interpretations of the Bible, but they're pretty united on all the key issues. Well, Marxism is very similar. Marxism is united on the main issues on revolution, etc., but they all have little tactical differences. They have different ways of looking at things. So who did you have in the election cycle? You had Joe Biden. Joe Biden comes out of the Council for a Livable World. That was an organization set up by a Soviet spy, and it was basically set up to elect senators in small states who could then be pressured or supported to work to gut the US military, to weaken weaken weapon systems, negotiate bad treaties with the Soviet Union, etc. And Joe Biden was one of their proteges. So he has worked in the interest of Moscow pretty much his entire political career. So you would really say he comes out of the sort of, you know, the pro-Soviet elitist sort of communist strand. You know, you wouldn't call Joe a doctrinaire Marxist. He's basically thrown in with the left. He's worked for the Soviet Union and Moscow in their interests his entire career. And he's sort of a globalist, socialist, elitist type of guy. But definitely not an American, definitely not a patriot, definitely somebody you'd like to avoid at all costs. Now, Elizabeth Warren, another very key candidate who was one of the darlings of the left. Now, she started life as a Republican, but as she got older, as she went to college, as many people do, she drifted further and further left until she got to the point where she was basically a Marxist. She was very heavily involved with Democratic Socialists of America. She had lots of DSA people around her. Now, I'll just explain a little bit about Democratic Socialists of America. They are sort of Communist Party light. They were set up in the early 80s as a new way to bring communism to America because the old Communist Party had been pretty discredited. So Elizabeth Warren has been hanging around with them for most of her career, very close to a woman called Heather Booth. Heather Booth and her set up the kit really were the ideological backbone of Elizabeth Warren's main achievement, which was the creation of the Consumer Protection Bureau, which is a left-wing bureau for hammering business, essentially, for attacking what she would call capitalism. And she was also very, very close to a group called Liberation Road, formerly Freedom Road Socialist Organization. And that's the pro-Chinese communist group. Elizabeth Warren was very close to the Chinese Progressive Association in Massachusetts, which is a front for the Chinese Communist Party and Liberation Road in that state. The Chinese Progressive Association even does consular work for the Chinese consulate out of New York, it really is an outpost of the Chinese Communist Party in Massachusetts. And Elizabeth Warren was a regular at their features. She was endorsed by them, supported by them, was very active with them. In 2012, Elizabeth Warren was a keynote speaker at the Midwest Academy. Now, that's based in Chicago, set up by Democratic Socialists of America members, some Liberation Road input, based on the theories of Saul Alinsky, the old Marxist from the 60s and 70s, who really was the inspiration for Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Now, this Midwest Academy holds its annual Academy Awards, where they give various radicals awards for their revolutionary achievements. And Elizabeth Warren was the keynote speaker in 2012. So she has very long history with Democratic Socialists of America, connections to the Chinese Progressive Association, connections to the Midwest Academy. She is definitely in the Marxist category. So that's Biden, that's Elizabeth Warren. Now, Bernie Sanders, nobody should be surprised to know that he is a communist. He has always been a communist. All this talk of democratic socialism is complete garbage. The difference between Bernie Sanders' democratic socialism and full-on Soviet communism is 5 to 10 years. That's all it is. It's just a step along the way. Now, Bernie Sanders, way back in the 60s, was active in the Packing House Workers Union in Chicago, a communist-controlled union. He was a member of the Young Socialist League in Chicago. He went to Israel, where he was a member of a commune in northern Israel, got kicked out for being too lazy, but it was the most pro-Soviet communist commune in Israel. And many of the communes in Israel at the time were socialist or communist. But that was one of the very, very worst. The leader of it, Aharon Cohen, was jailed for 5 years for spying for the Soviet Union. So that was where Bernie Sanders came from. So he goes back to America. Eventually he gravitates to Vermont, because around the Vietnam War time, the communists had a plan to bring leftists into Vermont, which had been a very Republican, very conservative state, to bring lots of leftists into Vermont from Massachusetts, New York, and all around the Northeast, to turn Vermont into a socialist stronghold, which it largely is today. And Bernie was the mayor in Burlington, Vermont. He joined the Liberty Union Party, which was really a branch of the Socialist Party USA. He got very actively involved in Democratic Socialists of America from the early 80s onwards. And he went a trip to Nicaragua to support the Nicaraguan Sandinistas, the pro-Soviet Sandinistas. He went to Cuba to try and meet Fidel Castro. And in 1988, he took his bride to honeymoon in the Soviet Union, where he had numerous amounts of interaction with Communist Party members, etc. He was also very, in the meantime, he was continuing his activism with Democratic Socialists of America, attending their functions. They elected him to Congress in 1991. They elected him to the US Senate in 2006. They were the backbone of his campaigns in both 2016 and 2020, and has been named more than once in DSA publications as a full DSA member. In the late 1970s, he was also active in the foundation of the US Peace Council, which was a leading Communist Party front. He appeared on stage he was a keynote speaker at their founding event, along with a member of the Palestine Liberation Organization, the terrorist organization, plus a leader of an East German Communist Party front. So he was very active all the way with these far-left causes. He was also close to a guy called John Case, a prominent Communist Party member in New England at the time, was supported by the Communist Party, was supported by Liberation Road. He is a complete and utter communist. And just by the way, Bernie Sanders volunteers are trained in New York by an organization called the Rosa Luxemburg Stiftung, which Stiftung is a German word for foundation. The Rosa Luxemburg Stiftung has branches all over the world, including in Beijing and Moscow and Manhattan, but it was founded in Germany and it's funded by the German taxpayer, but it's a wholly owned, basically, branch of a German political party called Die Linke, the left. Before that, it was called the Party for Democratic Socialism, and before that, it was called the Socialist Unity Party. We know it as the former East German Communist Party. It is under constant scrutiny by German intelligence services. It's Die Linke is a completely communist party, and the Rosa Luxemburg Stiftung, which trains Bernie Sanders supporters, is a communist organization. The whole Bernie Sanders movement is completely communist. Now, then you've got little Pete Buttigieg from Indiana, North Bend, Indiana. And he was Joe Biden wants him to be his ambassador to communist China. Because Pete's been in the military, and Pete's a patriot, right? He's in the military for a year in Afghanistan. He didn't do basic training. He just got parachuted straight in. So Pete Buttigieg is the son of Joseph Buttigieg, an academic at Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, the famous Catholic university. Joseph Buttigieg came from Malta and immigrated to the United States in the 1970s. Now, some of you may have heard of the leading Italian Communist Party theoretician, Antonio Gramsci. Antonio Gramsci was a communist in the 30s in Italy. He was looking at why the communist revolutions that occurred in Hungary and Germany and other places after World War I had failed. They didn't get popular support. So he came up with a new theory of communism. He said that the problem is that the workers in these Western countries have been so indoctrinated by the church and the culture over hundreds of years, they don't understand the benefits of communist revolution. They will vote against their own interests. So therefore, to have a revolution in Western countries, you need to change the culture. You need to infiltrate communists into the church, into business, into the military, into the media, into education, into science, every aspect of society, and the judicial system, obviously, to change the culture so that really when it comes time for revolution, the people are ready for it. They'll accept it. They're ready for communism before the revolution even starts. And Joseph Buttigieg, little Pete's father, was one of the world's leading Gramsciist scholars, very actively involved in Democratic Socialists of America and other Marxist groups. He was the international president of the World Gramsci Society. He was that well thought of in communist circles. He attended the 150th anniversary of the Communist Manifesto being written at a big festival in 1998 called the Manifestivity. And is a basically an academic communist. Well, little Pete, who portrays himself as this moderate sort of liberal Democrat these days, got himself on the Democratic Socialists of America mailing list as a young man. He really imbibed what his father had to teach. You're not an open revolutionary. You get into the culture and change the culture. You change the politics, and you bring about revolution by stealth. And so Pete was active in, he's on the Democratic Socialists of America mailing list. He wrote an essay as a high school senior that won him a nationwide prize. He actually got to go to Washington and meet the Kennedy family, etc. And the prize was about profiles of courage. And he chose as his profile of courage the then very little known socialist from Vermont called Bernie Sanders. So Bernie Sanders was his hero. While Pete Buttigieg was the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, he worked very closely with a group called Jobs for Justice, which was a front for the local Communist Party USA and Democratic Socialists of America. He attended their events, he backed them, he supported them with council funds. He got council people to go and support their strikes. He was completely in their camp. When Pete was on the campaign trail, he went and supported a strike in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, a strike against the local bus company. He was here photographed with all the strikers, etc. Well, that strike was organized by Democratic Socialists of America. Pete is a Marxist, another one of the Marxists. Then there's Amy Klobuchar. Well, I couldn't be serious that Amy Klobuchar had a Marxist background, could I? Because she was Mrs. Nice from Minnesota. She was a moderate Democrat. Well, this is a woman whose father, whose left-wing alcoholic father, used to take her on bicycle tours of the old Soviet Union. She went to college in Chicago, where her favorite professors were all Marxists and members of Democratic Socialists of America. She went back to Minnesota and got involved in a couple of groups that were DSA fronts. She was heavily involved with Democratic Socialists of America fronts, was supported by them, supported them, made a lot of contacts. But her real break into politics was through Paul Wellstone. He was a senator from Minnesota. I think he was the first elected in 1990 and was on the verge of standing for president when he was killed in a plane crash. I think it was in 2003. Now, I think he got first elected to the US Senate in 1996. And he was on the verge of standing for president. He was tragically killed. But Paul Wellstone mentored Amy Klobuchar. She worked on his campaign. She served as a surrogate for him. She was very close to the family. She credits his organization for getting her where she is. After he died, they founded a group called Wellstone Action, run by Marxists, a big community organizing group in Minnesota. And members of that group really helped Amy Klobuchar get elected to the US Senate. She really followed the Wellstone tradition. But Wellstone was a Marxist. He was very actively involved in Democratic Socialists of America. He mentored one of their youth groups at Carleton College when he taught there. They campaigned for him. There was even a controversy that went to court where some DSA members there was an IRS investigation that they were using their non-taxable money to fundraise for him in 1996 and 2002. So that went to court, and of course the court found that they were not guilty and it all went fine. But DSA was, just like Bernie Sanders, was the backbone of the Wellstone movement. And that's exactly where Amy Klobuchar came from. She was also involved in a group connected to a group called Women Against Military Madness. And one of their subgroups used to lobby Amy very extensively on issues of peace, on the Middle East policy, etc. And she would adopt their policies. Well, this group, Women Against Military Madness, was a front for the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, a pro-Chinese communist group. So she was basically taking talking points from these people and moving resolutions in Congress in the US Senate based on the ideas of this Maoist communist group in Minnesota. So she's another basic Marxist. Then you have someone like Cory Booker from New Jersey. Now, Cory didn't do that well. You know, he sort of flamed out quite early. But Cory Booker was the protege of a man called Stephen Phillips. The two were at Stanford University together. Now, Steve Phillips funded Cory Booker. He got him elected to the US Senate in 2013, put a lot of money behind him, because Steve Phillips was very, very rich. He was He was a young Maoist communist at Stanford University in the 1980s, a member of the League of Revolutionary Struggle. Now, after Tiananmen Square, a lot of the League of Revolutionary Struggle moved into the Democratic Party, including Steve Phillips. He also married very well. He married into the Sandler family of New York, which is worth of San Francisco, which had a fortune of $2.2 billion. And he used a lot of that money to buy himself influence in the top reach of the Democratic Party. He was one of the main influences behind Barack Obama, and he got his friend Cory Booker elected to the US Senate. And he has openly talked in his own blog about his Marxist-Leninist background and saying that though Cory is not a complete communist, he is certainly along our way of thinking. He's a progressive, he's definitely imbued with socialist thinking, and though he will work with conservatives at times, he is really one of us. And Steve Phillips wrote these kinds of letters to make sure the radical left understood that Cory is on our team, and although he will flirt with the corporate wing from time to time, he is really one of us and he deserves our support. Now, Deval Patrick, who stood briefly for a while too, was another one of these comrades. He came out of, his father was a militant left winger, hated white people, real Marxist. Deval Patrick absorbed that. He too was very close to Democratic Socialists of America in the Boston area. They helped him get elected. They worked on his campaigns. He appointed some DSA members to high positions in his transition team and to various state boards and bodies. And now he's gearing up for a future election run in 2024 or 2028 or whatever. But he is another far-left Marxist coming out of the Democratic Socialists of America strand. And then you've got Tulsi Gabbard. Now, a lot of people don't like me calling Tulsi Gabbard a socialist. You know, Hillary Clinton called her a Russian agent, and I don't often agree with Hillary Clinton, but I think she was right. You know, Tulsi Gabbard started out as a moderate Democrat, but she was backed right from the start by the wife of the governor of Hawaii, Neil Abercrombie. And Neil Abercrombie and his wife were both members of Democratic Socialists of America. Nancy Caraway was his wife. She was a DSA member, and she was one of the leading people who put Tulsi into the US Congress. Tulsi worked with Democratic Socialists of America extensively. She attended the People's Summit, a big gathering of 3,000 communists in Chicago that I attended and is actually featured in my movie, Enemies Within. She worked very closely with Dennis Kucinich, a former Communist Party supporter who was a mayor of Cleveland, Ohio, and a congressman for several years, and the darling of some libertarians and many on the left because of his anti-war stances. Well, Dennis Kucinich was very friendly with the Russians, even well after the communist period, very friendly with the Syrians, led by the pro-Russian Bashar al-Assad. So Dennis Kucinich was part of this, and he mentored Tulsi Gabbard and drew her into these circles too. Tulsi is also very close to Christine Ahn, one of North Korea's most, active supporters in this country. Tulsi Gabbard is very, very much on the left, but she still has some support from libertarians and others who think because she opposes war, she's somehow on their side. Now, Julian Castro from San Antonio. Julian Castro was the Hispanic. He was expected to do a lot better than he did. He was the head of Obama's Education and Welfare Department, the Housing Department. He was head of Obama's HUD. And But if you look at his background, he and his brother Oakeen were both students at Stanford University together. They were members of the same communist group there, the People's Platform, that Steve Phillips had helped to start a few years earlier. They were there in the 90s, Phillips was there in the 80s, but the same Maoists who ran the People's Platform in the 80s, the vehicle that got their members elected to the student government, they were also running it in the 90s when Ulian and Oakeen ran on their platform. Their mother, Rosie Castro, was a very active supporter of the Communist Party in San Antonio in the 1970s and 80s. Today, she serves on the board of the Texas Organizing Project, formerly known as Texas ACORN. She serves on that board right alongside Bernard Sampson, who is the head of the Houston Communist Party. Ulian Castro has worked with the Texas Organizing Project. He has attended their meetings. So has Oakeen. Both of the brothers have got strong connections to the Communist Party in San Antonio and also to Democratic Socialists of America. Ulian Castro is very close to a man in Iowa, a man called Joe Henry, who ran LULAC, the Latin American leftist organization in Iowa. And Joe Henry is a very strong Democrat. He's one of the most prominent Democrats in Iowa, but he's also a very well-known member of the Communist Party USA. And he was basically Ulian Castro's point man amongst the Latino communities in Iowa, but further afield as well. So everywhere you look, every one of the candidates still running in January, except for, well, Tom Steyer, I briefly would say, he had a background at Stanford University. His brother was involved in communist groups there. He was involved in on the fringes of the radical left. And he had more Marxists in his campaign than any other candidate except for Bernie Sanders. Right up there. So whoever got, you know, the only one who wasn't a communist was Bloomberg. And Bloomberg loves China and hates your guns. So he might as well have been a communist. So what I'm getting at here is the Democratic Party is rotten with communism today. Even the moderates are communists, socialists, and Marxists. But the American public has no understanding of this. And all those millions of loyal Democrats out there are voting for these people, thinking they're voting for Harry Truman or JFK. But the truth is different. The Democratic Party is now a communist party, which is why it can never be allowed to come to power in this country again, at least until it reforms itself. So I'll be going to these issues more in the future. I'll be looking more at the backgrounds of Kamala Harris and some of your senators and some of the other infiltrators there. But just please keep an open mind. If you're a Democrat, I'm not attacking you. I'm just trying to tell you your party has been hijacked and you need to become aware of that before you sell your country to socialism. So thanks for watching today, folks. We'll be back soon. Thanks for watching Enemies Within with Trevor Loudon.